Would you please take the Word of God and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Luke chapter 1, and we'll take our message from God's inspired and preserved Word, Luke chapter 1. We'll look at a few verses here and some other passages as well. It is a privilege to have the opportunity to speak this morning, and we're praying much for Pastor and Mrs. Sexton and trusting that the Lord will bring them back to us very, very soon. And a very special day, Mother's Day. It's great to have a number of mothers visiting with us today and a number of children who are here at the request of their mother, and what a blessing it is. Luke chapter 1, we'll look at this text in just a moment, but I was remembering some Mother's Days in England. It is in the month of March. It's called Mothering Sunday, and so it's a bit of a different occasion, but something in so many countries around the world, rightly so, to honor mothers. And I can remember reading of a story of some children in England who were wanting to get their mother the right kind of flowers, had gone to the flower shops, they'd even gone to Poundland, that's the British equivalent of the dollar store, and they couldn't quite find the flowers that they wanted. And as they were walking home, they saw in the cemetery something they thought would just be perfect. So they brought it to their mother, and they gave the introduction in this way. They said, "Mother, you're always saying that you want some peace and quiet so you can get some rest. And we found these flowers that were perfect just for you." And they presented them to her, and it said, "Mother, rest in peace." And sometimes the children don't quite understand all those things. Someone was talking about gifts to give mother, and one of the little children thought, "We'll give her some chocolates, a box of very special chocolates." And so when the little girl gave the box to her mother, she said, "Mom, these are the best chocolates in the whole world. And I know because I've had a bite out of every one of them." And so you can imagine there are a lot of unique gifts perhaps this morning to mothers around this area. And I'm thankful for all of the mothers. You know, mothers have sometimes a difficult time getting the full attention of their children. And I was reading a real cure for that. It said, the surest way for a mother to get a child's full and undivided attention is for the mother to sit down and relax. And that's usually how that works. If you've been around little ones and mothers, you'll know there's never really a moment for relaxing or resting. There are so many things that are going on. What a blessing to have mothers. I'd like to thank my mother, the mothers in my life. My mom is, God willing, going to be 91 in June, and I'm looking forward to that. I'd like to thank my wife and her work as a mother in guiding our children to God, and Mrs. Sexton, a spiritual mother to so many of us, and how she's encouraged us and prayed for us. We have so much that we owe our mothers, don't we? And I'd like to think about the model mother. Who would the model mother be? If you were going to pattern your life after the life of a mother, perhaps you would think of someone like Susanna Wesley, the 25th of 25 children. She would have won today, wouldn't she? She had 19 children, two sets of twins. Two of her sons, Charles Wesley and John Wesley, literally changed the world. Susanna Wesley, their mother, is known in some circles as the mother of Methodism. She's also known as the woman that saved England. Saved England from what? From the revolution like they had in France. John and Charles Wesley, God used, along with others like George Whitefield, to see a great revival sweep through England and then affect the colonies here on this side of the ocean. And so an amazing thing that one woman was an amazing example, but perhaps as great of a model as Susanna Wesley might be, we find an even greater model in Luke chapter 1. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 46 and 47. The Word of God tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior.'" I'm thankful here in the Word of God we have a model mother. God records through the Holy Spirit's inspiration this person who was chosen by God the Father to carry Christ the Son, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has always existed and will always exist, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. And yet he took on flesh and became a man And God chose this one woman above all others to be the vessel that would carry the Lord Jesus Christ and bring by birth him into this sin-sick world so he could go to the cross and bear our sins in his body on the tree. What an amazing thing to see God using this woman. And a model of a mother, she certainly is. And so with God's help for a few moments this morning, I'd like to speak on that topic, the model mother. Not to discourage mothers today, not to say, well, this is how you should act, and if you've ever failed or fallen short of Mary, well, you're a terrible mother. Not at all. But to say, here's someone that we could pray that God would help us emulate, someone we could aspire to see in this passage, something that we could model in our own lives, and mothers could be those who model this. So may God help us as we look at this passage today at the model mother. I don't know what your mother was like. Maybe your mother was a model mother. Maybe she was someone you have very fond memories of, or perhaps you had a mother that was not at all a model mother. But here in our text, we find the first thing we notice about Mary as she is speaking here in Luke chapter 1 is that she possessed salvation. Notice, if you would, back in verse 45, the Bible says this regarding Mary, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now notice Mary's own words in verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I don't know if you'd circle that word in verse 47, but it would help you to understand that Mary knew more than just about the salvation of God. She truly knew God. She was someone who possessed salvation. Her salvation was personal. She was able to say, He is my God. Not just that she knew about him, or not just that she was going to try to point others in her life to him, but she could say with truth that he was her God. I wonder today, if you're a mother here, could you truly and honestly in your heart say this, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know with assurance that I possess salvation. That I've come to Christ by faith and he has given me new life. I've been born again by God's Spirit. Could you say today with assurance that you're born again? Because if you're not born again, you cannot give to your child what you do not have yourself. It is impossible for a mother who does not have eternal life herself to teach her children in the ways of God and raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord the way Christ desires for that mother to do if you don't know Christ yourself. Mother, may I give you the greatest news in all the world? The gospel is for you. And for everyone else here today, maybe your mother asked you and said, what I'd like for Mother's Day is maybe not to go eat somewhere special or have flowers. I'd like you to sit with me in church. The gospel is for mothers and everyone else as well. And the truth is this, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all those who have broken God's law, and God's justice demands punishment. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ, as we just read in this passage, came to earth. The eternal Son of God took on flesh and became a man without ceasing to be God. And he lived a sinlessly perfect life and fulfilled all of the law of God. We could never do that. And he never once committed a sin of thought or word or deed. We could never do that. And he went to the cross and he was nailed to the tree and shed his blood and gave his life in the sinner's stead. He died for us. He died as us, that we, by believing in what he has done on the cross for our sin, he went into the grave. He rose again the third day and he is alive forevermore. You say, how do you know that? Because he saved me and he saved my mother. And he's saved countless millions of others. And the truth is this, he can save anyone who comes to him by faith for salvation. That includes mothers today. That includes sons. That includes everyone who's here, daughters and fathers. The gospel is for you. Do you say, and can you with confidence and assurance say, I know I possess salvation? I was reading last week about a couple who were on the big island of Hawaii. They were tourists and they were using the GPS on their phone to get to a special destination. And they drove and followed exactly where the GPS said for them to go. and they drove off of a pier and into the ocean. Someone was videotaping, or had a camera and was videoing their accident. And they just casually drove, following their GPS, drove right off the pier into the ocean. Their car began to sink. They didn't seem extremely excited about getting out. They kind of casually got out and were rescued. And when they were interviewed, they said, well, we were just following the GPS. Well intended. Mother, if you don't know Jesus Christ, may I ask you a very serious question? Where are you leading your children? Where will your children spend eternity? If you do not know Christ as your Savior, how can you give to your children a gospel you have yet to believe yourself? Do you possess salvation? The greatest thing any mother could have, the model mother, Mary gives us an understanding that she possessed salvation, and her salvation was not just something that was personal. Her salvation was primary. Notice, if you would, verse 48. The Bible says this, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from thenceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She understood that salvation was not just some side issue. It was the very reason for which she had been brought into this world, and she was saved and she was believing in God. Here's the great truth. In so many Christian homes, the mother has salvation, but it is not something that is primary. It is something at best secondary, or something that is brought out when it's necessary. My friend, salvation should be more than just a way to heaven. It should be a way of life as well. It should be something primary in our own lives. And then her salvation was precious to her. Notice verse 49, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Can you imagine Mary when she received this announcement from the angel? This was a great disruption in her life. This was something unexpected, and yet instead of seeing it as some unexpected difficulty, she said, "This is a great blessing. God has visited me. He hath done great things to me." And she blessed the name of God because she was blessed. If you're a mother here today, is your salvation precious to you? Do you see the work of God in your life and the lives of your children as something so precious that you desire for God to work in a mighty way? And instead of seeing the work of God and the will of God as some difficult drudgery, could you see it as a great blessing that you've been saved by God's grace and you now have family to raise and encourage and nourish in the Lord and the Word of God? The second thing I'd like you to draw your attention to this morning is this model mother did this. She prepared her child to serve God the Father. She prepared her child to serve God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ was brought up in a home where his mother was preparing him to always do what the Heavenly Father desired for him to do. And a model mother gives us the example that in our own lives, we have the opportunity to guide our children to God and to bring them to a place where they understand that their whole purpose in being is to know God and to worship him and to serve him. Notice, if you would, in chapter 2 of Luke and verse 22, this is demonstrated when she presented him to God. Notice Luke chapter 2, Joseph and Mary come to the temple. And in verse 22, the Bible says, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Here's an example of what happened way back in the Old Testament with Hannah as she brought Samuel and presented him to the Lord. And now Mary and Joseph are bringing the Lord Jesus Christ. They're presenting him to the Lord to do whatever God the Father would desire. Isn't that the theme of Christ's life? Not my will, but thine be done. Christ always did those things that pleased his Father. And here Mary is being used by God to present him to God. There are mothers and fathers that bring their little ones here and dedicate them to the Lord. And may I say to you, that's perhaps a one-time occasion where you do that, but that lasts a lifetime, doesn't it? It's very easy to do that when they're a few weeks old. It's harder to do that when they're 18 or 25 or 46. But if they've been lent to the Lord, they still belong to him. And Mary presented him to God. Why? The child belongs to God. The mother or the father are just caretakers for a short time. She sacrificed, notice verse 24, to have him there and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. May I say this in just a practical note? If you're going to raise your child to obey God, it will take some sacrifice. It will require some difficult choices. It will require going against the cultural grain, but it is worth it because Mary, the model mother, helps us understand she was preparing him to serve God, and she had provided for him a place to grow. If you notice in chapter 2, verse 48, this passage deals with when the Lord Jesus was 12 years old and at the temple in Jerusalem, he stayed behind as Joseph and Mary went back to their home. Verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know what she does? She provided a place for him to grow in his obedience to God the Father. She wanted him to be in the house of God. She wanted him to know God. Isn't it an interesting thing? When he was too young to know, she took him to the house of God. And when he was old enough to know, he wanted to be in the house of God. There's a great pattern there. We are to be those who set examples in our faithfulness in service to the Lord and worship to the Lord. And this is what she did. The third thing I'd like you to notice in our text is that she points us to Christ. She not only possessed salvation and she not only prepared her child to serve God the Father, but she points us, you and I, to Jesus Christ. Let me draw your attention to something that happens in the book of John. Would you please turn to John chapter 2? And we find in John chapter 2, Mary, the mother of Christ, giving some specific instructions, not just for the people in John chapter 2, but for all of us. And Mary has learned something through raising and being a part of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he begins his public ministry, you'll notice in John chapter 2, she points us to practical obedience to Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, verse 5. They're at the wedding in Cana. Verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Would you underline those two last words in verse 5? Do it. Whatever Jesus Christ gives you to do, you should do it. Now, this is not just anyone speaking. This is his mother speaking. And she's saying to the servants, "I know who this is. I know what he's capable of. And whatever he tells you to do, you should do it." No matter if you're a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, no matter where you're at in a family, here's a great truth from Mary, the model mother. Whatever Jesus Christ tells you to do, do it. This is something Mary had practiced throughout her life of raising the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it an interesting thing to see today that many of the people who would have gone into perhaps mission work or pastoral work or various other ministry things are prohibited, not necessarily by the devil or the world or their flesh, but by their own parents. And someone said this one time, when mother love becomes smother love, something's wrong. If a child has in his heart a desire to serve God, don't discourage that, encourage that. If a child has in his heart something that may be something that is a challenge to you, don't discourage him. Encourage him, because this is something God has put in his heart. May he be encouraged to do it. And she points us to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Mothers have a very important job because they're modeling, whether they like it or not, know it or not, or are good at it or not, they're modeling for a new generation. An unknown author wrote this: "A careful mother I ought to be, a little one is following me. I do not dare to go astray for fear she'll go the selfsame way. I cannot once escape her eyes, the things she sees me do, she tries. Like me, she says she's going to be, that little one who follows me. She thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine, the worst in me She must not see that little one that follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I am building for the years to be a little one that follows me. You know, the reason we're given a model mother in the New Testament is because God wants us to see how a woman who becomes a mother can have a great influence and can be an encouragement to the things of God in the life of her child. Not only does Mary point us to practice obedience to Christ, but if you'll turn to one other book in the Bible, the book of Acts, chapter 1, we find here Mary giving us an example of how we should behave in this regard. Acts chapter 1, the Bible tells us about the upper room. The Lord Jesus Christ has just ascended into heaven. He's told his followers to wait and tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And notice, if you would, someone very special is in that upper room. We're given the names of the apostles in verse 13. But notice in verse 14, the Bible says this: these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Who was there in the upper room? Who was there praying as Jesus had commanded his followers to pray? It is none other than Mary herself, because she had learned the secret of prayer. And mothers that are here today have an amazing power, the power of prayer. You may think your prayers go unheard, but they do not. You may think that your tears go unnoticed, but they're kept in a bottle. God hears and answers the prayers of a mother. And mothers who pray have power with God. Because Mary knew the Lord and she had obeyed the Lord, she had the power in prayer. And here she is giving to us an example again, yet modeling prayer for us. Mothers need prayer themselves, don't they? Mothers are very busy. Mothers need discernment to know what to do and when best to do it. Mothers get discouraged. Mothers get overwhelmed, and mothers need prayer. If you're not a mother here today, would you pray for the mothers in your life? Let me read a poem by my favorite poet. O master of my life, help me through this busy day to heed your loving call and be willing to obey. There are many voices calling. There are needy all around. Help me, Lord, to hear your voice and in your grace abound. It's my favorite poem. My mother wrote that one. So many things clamor for our attention, demand us to pay close attention. All of these time-saving devices that we have now taken up all our time, haven't they? And you know what mothers need? They need God's grace. They need the Holy Spirit's guidance. They need comfort and encouragement from people in their lives that know them and love them. Perhaps you're here today and you're not a mother. Would you encourage the mother that's in your life? Would you pray for her? Maybe you're here today, and if you're here today and you're with your mother and you're not living for the Lord, could I tell you the greatest Mother's Day gift you could give your mother? A mended heart. You've broken it in such deep ways, your mother cannot even express how deeply hurt she is. She grieves and cries and prays in times you don't know and perhaps don't even care about. But if you've strayed from God and you're here today, or perhaps you're listening and you know this is not what your mother had hopes and prayers for when she came, when you were just a baby and she lent you to God, this is not the way of life that you were meant to be lived. You were given life to live for God, and you've not done that. Could I tell you today, you could give your mother the greatest Mother's Day gift ever by returning to the Lord, by getting right with the God who gave you life. My friend, being a mother is no easy task, no simple task. Those are the people in our lives God has gifted us with to be those who guide us to God. There was a lady in the 1730s who was in poor health. She had a baby. Her husband was gone often. And her son lived with her. They were often by themselves. She did everything she could every day with her poor health to teach her child the Word of God. And she prayed with him. She taught him to sing hymns. And she prayed every day that he would someday come to know Christ and eventually be a preacher. Before he turned 7 years of age, she was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And before her son turned seven, she died. At the age of 7, her son became someone who got involved with the wrong crowd. He became a profligate, a prodigal. He was someone who is well known in all of the London area for being a vile sinner. In fact, he became involved in the slave trade and became a slave one day himself. One day, after a big storm at sea, he came to trust in Christ as his Savior. You know him as John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace. And you know what he credits his salvation to? The grace of God, no doubt. The Holy Spirit and the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, but the prayers of his mother before he was 7 years old. And the truth that she had implanted in his little brain when he was 4 and 5 and 6, and the hymns that he used to listen to her sing while she would sit him in her lap before he was even 7. And here's the interesting thing. John Newton not only became a Christian, but became a preacher, and he reached others, thousands of others. He reached someone named Thomas Scott, a famous writer of his day, who began to reach others with the gospel, and thousands through this man were brought to Christ. And Thomas Scott reached a man who was a manic depressive, who was in and out of insane asylums, and that man's name was William Cooper, who wrote the hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood," that's reached so many people with the truth of the gospel. And William Cowper influenced someone else named William Wilberforce to go forward in the abolition of the slave trade. And John Newton and Cowper worked with Wilberforce until slavery was no more in the British colonies. And God used Wilberforce to influence another man named Richard Trade, who wrote this book, A Dairyman's Daughter, a little 52-page book that went into castles and hovels in poverty-stricken areas and wealthy places, and it was a presentation of the gospel, a little simple book anyone could read, and so many were swept into the kingdom of God through that book and through the hymn of Cowper and through the abolition of the slave trade from Wilberforce and from Amazing Grace, the hymn that was written by John Newton. But it all goes back, that long chain that affected literally world history and millions of people all went back to a little mother who only had short of 7 years to put into the life of her child all that was most meaningful. And look what came from it. Mother's prayers are powerful. If you have a mother praying for you, thank God for it. May I ask you this as we come to a close? Mother, where are you guiding your children? If they follow you, and they will, what are you modeling? Do you know Christ? Could you say with confidence, "I'm certain that I've been born again and I have the witness within that I belong to Christ"? Mothers make so many sacrifices. But could we ask this question? Mother, are you making the right sacrifices? Are you making the emphasis Christ and not just all the things the world makes an emphasis of? May we be guided to honor Christ in what we do. And then if you're here today and you're not a mother, do you know a mother that needs help and encouragement and strengthening? Some words of kindness? Instead of a critique, how about a compliment? Could you be an encouragement and a blessing to a mother today? And if you have a mother that's prayed for you, you're a blessed man or a blessed woman. God has placed mothers in our lives to guide us to God, and may we honor them by following the Lord Jesus Christ.